DW Africa Link.
Nico Williams and Lamine Yamal have been at the center of everything. Cucurella as well. Ball comes in again and it's a goal!
Yes, it's the UEFA European Championships, a football tournament that has Germany and Europe in raptures, including myself during the match between Spain and Italy. Heavily involved in that goal for Spain were Lamine Yamal and Nico Williams, two players with African roots. Spain would not have won that match without them, but their very presence in the Spanish team, as well as other players with migration backgrounds, starring for Germany, England, France, the Netherlands and many more, has kicked off soul-searching in Europe, when rising nationalism, fascism and racism flies into the face of UEFA's tournament slogan, Football Unites Us. I'm Kai Nebe, this is Africa Link.
Africa Link, every weekday, here on DW.
First up, the Euros are a great place to see footballing talent. The tournament is watched by millions worldwide. It's also become Exhibit A of the changing face of European football. Just 4 out of the 24 teams in the tournament don't have a naturalized player in their squad. And with stars like Ilkay Gundogan, Jamal Musiala, Kylian Mbappe, Bukayo Saka and many others standing out, it's obvious why the rest of the world is following. It seems like never before have the Euros been this diverse, and so thrillingly good. But European football is still plagued by racism in the stands, Euro-identitarian opinions on social media, and anti-immigration politics, all of which seems contrary to the spirit of football, inclusion, talent, and entertainment. I'll be speaking more about this with German football fan culture expert Felix Tamsud later on. But first, game time.
Number 16, Rodri.
In the run-up to the clash in Gelsenkirchen, I spoke with Spain and Italy fans about their favorite player. Even some Canadian fans chipped in.
Number 19, Lamine Yamal.
Yeah, I see you wearing a Lamine Yamal shirt.
Yamal is a young player, he's a very young player. And have a brilliant future. And I think he scored today.
Hey guys, so you're at the game here between Spain and Italy.
Yes.
Who do you guys think is going to win and who you support?
Easy, 3-0.
Italia.
Viva Spagna.
So, bigger question, who are your guys' favorite players here on the Spanish team? Let's start with
Lamine, Pedri, give me Nico Williams, all of them.
Why is Nico Williams one of your favorite players?
First of all, he's an elite baller. Best winger in the world. How old is he? He's a young player, man. He's potential to be the best winger in the world.
He's not as young as Lamine. Do you think Lamine is going to score today?
God, Lamine, maybe not score, but definitely an assist. And if he does, the whole crowd's going crazy.
After a brief delay,
We've been held up by a bunch of dignitaries. Apparently, the Spanish king has just arrived to watch the match. So I guess we're in royal company now.
It was game time. Lamine Yamal and Nico Williams terrorized the Italian defense all game long, and Nico Williams was awarded man of the match after the 1-0 victory. He is a special talent, born in Pamplona, Spain, to Ghanaian parents who made the grueling Sahara crossing to make a new life in Spain. Nico stars with his older brother Inaki for Athletic Bilbao in La Liga, where together they broke Bilbao's trophy drought to win the Copa del Rey. Inaki represents Ghana, and impressed for the Black Stars at the 2022 World Cup. Lamine Yamal's parents hail from Equatorial Guinea and Morocco. It's hard to believe, but he's only 16 and became the youngest ever player to feature at the Euros. I'm joined now by two football mega aficionados, Nigerian correspondent Ololade Adewuyi and former Harambe Stars of Kenya head coach Ghost Muley. I'm going to start with you, Ghost. You've coached football in Kenya through all levels, all the way to the national team. You've even coached at AFCON. So can you describe, for younger Africans growing up, where do they look to? What leagues do they watch?
Most of the time, I think they watch the European leagues. Of course, like in Kenya here, English Premier League is very popular. And other leagues like the Champions League is also a big hit. Most of them, they look at European football, and also not forgetting that African Cup of Nations is also a big deal, because that is where you see the top African players that are applying their trade in Europe. Lately, we've been having the African Football League, the biggest that has happened in Africa, and it has caused a lot of interest. Looking at the kind of money that was put into it, I think they are starting also to believe that the African football is also growing up in big numbers. So there, but mostly it's the European leagues. And right now that the Euro 2014 is going on in Germany, there is a very big interest. I mean, like most of the radio stations are streaming it live, the TV station. So everybody is glued to the TV during the Euro 2014.
And it's interesting you mentioned that, because I remember myself sitting up and watching as McDonald Mariga came on and played in the European Champions League final in 2010 for Inter Milan. I remember that moment myself as a young fan growing up. Maybe just shortly to say, what kind of impact does it have that you see that maybe a younger Kenyan sees a McDonald Mariga stepping up and playing for Jose Mourinho in the Champions League final?
Well, that was a very big impact. And I think kids who were born during that time, some have bear the name Mariga in honor of his playing. He was actually the first Kenyan to play in the Champions League final and win the tournament. And this has gone in a long way. Mariga has big respect in Kenya here because of that. The other Kenyan who also has won the Champions League with the Kenyan origin is Divock Origi, playing for Liverpool, because his father, I played with him in the club level. Then I coached him in the African Cup of Nations. That is Michael Origi, who also played in the Belgium League. So he's a Belgian, but that Kenyan origin is still in him. So Kenyans are proud. He's the first Kenyan origin, would say, that scored in the World Cup against Russia when he played Belgium, played Russia. So that we are proud to say that we have already scored a goal in the World Cup.
It's good that you make that connection, because I want to bring in Olalade here. Olalade, you've reported a lot about the football situation in Nigeria. And of course, the Super Eagles are blessed with a lot of talent that plays in the European leagues, from Victor Osimhen. You know, you could reel off a whole lot of names. I'll just stick with Victor Osimhen at the moment. But how Eurocentric is the football mania there? Because we know Nigerians love football.
Indeed, Kai, Nigerians love football, and many Nigerians watch and follow the European leagues because of the successes recorded over the years by Nigerian footballers. You have to go back to the early 90s when the first pair of Nigerians won the Champions League with Ajax Football Club of Amsterdam. You had Finidi George, who was our most recent national team coach, and Nwankwo Kanu, both playing in that final in 1995 and winning the Champions League with Ajax. So the growth of European football and its influence has gone that far back. And also when Daniel Amokachi became the first Nigerian-born player born in Nigeria player to play in the Premier League.
Do you think that the interest in European football is really just tied to the fact that they are African players or players of African origin playing in those leagues? Or would it have been there anyway?
I could say that there's interest, but then in terms of particular following for clubs, it's helped a lot. You look at the biggest Premier League teams in Nigeria, Chelsea and Manchester United and Arsenal, have all had Nigerians play for them, and their following, especially Arsenal, became really big when Nwankwo Kanu became their first African signing in 1999. And also Chelsea, with Celestin Babayaro being their first Nigerian signing after the Olympic victory in 96. Then having Mikel John Obi going to win the Champions League with them in 2012.
Ghost, if I can come to you, we've talked a bit about club level, but what does it mean now to see actual European teams fielding players of African origin playing in their national teams? I mean, if you look at, for instance, the German national team, one of their star players, Jamal Musiala, traces his roots to Nigeria. The Spanish national team that we saw recently absolutely dominated with Lamine Yamal and, of course, Nico Williams, whose brother even plays for the Black Stars, Inaki. What does it mean to see that?
Well, it's pleasing just to understand that we have one of our own in those clubs, like in the national teams of European countries. Like even you forgot to mention Austria has a Kenyan in origin, Mwene. Is a right back. When you see that, it gives you more inspiration as a nation, and it also gives the other players self-belief that anything can happen in football.
Okay, now this is where I want to take a look at a subject that is unfortunately a scourge in European football, maybe not just in Europe, but we've noticed it there, particularly racism towards players of African origin or those from South America. I could think of already Vinny Jr. has struggled, or, you know, there's been a lot of racist abuse directed towards him. Now, this is obviously an abhorrent trend that has happened, and it's somehow still happening, even though, as Olalade mentioned, there have been players playing in the top leagues since the 1980s already. What would you like to see changed in this regard?
Well, I think the case of Vinicius Jr. is fresh in our minds, but I'm happy that the three guys who were involved in that were actually punished and severely. I mean, they had some, I think, jail terms. And it doesn't stop there. I mean, when you look at 2022 World Cup, Kylian Mbappe, Kingsley Coman, Randa Kolomwani, and also Ariel Chomani, they were also racially abused after they lost to in the World Cup final. So this should bring the punishment that is meted against the aggressors. That should bring a clear warning that the world has become a global village. And you cannot really succeed by what I would call racism. It means that you want somebody of a different color or ethnicity to be able to don your jersey, or you don't like them to don the jersey of your national. That is a very bad thing, because the world really has become like a global village. And not only in Europe, I think even in Africa, where we have different kind of tribes, I've experienced that as a national coach. One time I made my squad and somebody came in, something that I didn't even know, I didn't realize, and asked me, why do you have so many players from one ethnic group? Something I didn't even think about. And I was shocked because I was calling the best players that I thought would don the national jersey. So it doesn't only happen in Europe. Even in Africa, there is that kind of thing.
Right. And now I just want to go with to you, Olalade. Is this a discussion that is also prevalent in Nigeria?
There's the fact that some Nigerian players have had racist incidents targeted against them. Last season, there was in Belgium, Tolu Arokodare, who plays for Genk, faced some racist attacks. He's a striker. Locally, there are thoughts, you know, in terms of ethnic diversity of the national team as big as the country, from a country like ours, that, okay, you need representation across many places to be able to have everybody feel a part of it, you know. So there are conversations, but they are usually put out due to the fact that you need your best 11 legs on the pitch. And in recent years, we've been recruiting players of Nigerian origin, born in Europe, in England, in Germany. So there's also the conversation around, are we giving too many opportunities to players born abroad than born at home? So these are also levels of othering of people in the national team setup.
I like the way that you bring that up, because, coach, you've actually had to probably deal with selection issues like that in your career as a coach. Is there a part of you that perhaps says, you know, it is great to see these players playing for their adopted countries for whatever reason? They've lived there for a really long time. Their parents have made their homes there. They speak the language. They are integrated in that. But when you see incidences of racism and stuff, is there a part of you that says, you know, I just wish these guys would play for their home country where this wouldn't happen?
Well, I don't think that we have one rule for all, because one of the things is with football fans, they are crazy, because when such a player scores and the team wins, they'll never talk about racism per se. But when a team loses, then the issue of race starts happening there. We have seen it. And I like what my colleague has said, because even here today, we are having a debate on the same thing, like players born outside Kenya with Kenyan origin. is it okay for them to come and play? There is an issue of the fans thinking that they don't have patriotism. They only come here because they cannot make a place in the countries that they've been born. They cannot maybe make the first 11 there. And their being in abroad gives them an advantage for the coaches here to call them in the national team. So it's a big debate that actually we don't have a clear answer to that. But all in all, I would say that we need to be accommodative. We need to really understand that sometimes you win, sometimes you lose.
At Euro 2020, the one that was played in 2021 due to the COVID, the final, England versus Italy, you had three black players take penalties, which they lost. You had Marcus Rashford, Jadon Sancho, and Bukayo Saka. Afterwards, there was a lot of racist backlash against them. Go back to your country. Bukayo Saka's parents come from Nigeria. The other side of it is also the fans in their home country, especially Nigeria, looking at Bukayo Saka and say, hey, we missed out on this great talent. He should have been playing for us. But when also they come to play for Nigeria or for Kenya, and then they are taking the space of a Nigerian-born player, you know, so this dichotomy of problems that they face is really present.
I see what you're saying, Ololade, but I think it also goes back to what Coach Mule was saying earlier about the fact that, you know, we live in a global village, and the fact that we are in a situation where, you know, the borders between nations are not as, you know, clear cut as they used to be. But as we wrap up here, guys, I really want to ask you one last thing, which is to see, like, can you imagine a European championship that would be played without the likes of Kylian Mbappe, Jamal Musiala, without the likes of Bukayo Saka? Can we agree that this would be almost not worth watching?
I would say one thing for the players of African origin. There is something that I think players of African origin have that most of the European players maybe they lack, because the flair, the African person playing football, it's like a dance. It's like they're on stage. There is something extra that they bring into the game. I mean, you look at JJ Okocha, you look at players like Kylian Mbappe, you look at even Bukayo Saka. There's just some flair that they bring into the game. So when you remove that, then it becomes flat football. I would say so.
Yes, I do agree that the Euros without players of African origin would be quite boring because we have to look at the root of also the influence that African players now have on the Euros. You go back to the colonial history of these countries. You see Portugal in 1966 had Eusebio, who was born in Mozambique, and he was one of the greatest players of Portugal. And it's gone on and on. France is filled with players of African origin. You see in Belgium, you see it in England, you see it in Germany now. You know, but you also look at the impact of those communities. They are so small compared to the greater population of the country, but their impact in sport is so important.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you so much, Guy.
Thank you so much, too.
Kenyan football coach and broadcaster Ghost Mule and journalist Ololade Adewuyi.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
As players let their feet do the talking, there have been some unpleasant reminders that not everybody in Europe shares the vision of a united and inclusive continent. European elections results saw support for far-right and conservative parties surge, so much so that French stars Kylian Mbappé and Marcus Thuram spoke out about the dangers far-right politics poses. An underlying theme does seem to be, at best, skepticism towards foreigners, and often, thinly veiled racism. And its links to football are far bigger than you might think, as I found out in my conversation with journalist Felix Tamzut.
And my area of coverage is fan culture and social, political development in German football, discrimination in German football.
The world has become a bit of a global village. You have players from all sorts of backgrounds playing in Europe, or you have players playing elsewhere, or players playing for their adopted countries and that.
And one of the sad things that has happened is that it seems to me, at least, that there's been an increase in racism occurring at football stadiums or around the game itself. Is it actually getting worse? And why is it so challenging to actually eliminate racism?
I think the saying that it's gotten worse is not exactly accurate. Fact of the matter is we don't have facts from, I don't know, the 70s and the 60s to compare that with. But what we do have nowadays is more exposure. Such incidents receive a lot more attention due to social media, due to societal progress made on the matter. I mean, in the 70s and 80s, German stadia were full of racism, but nobody cared.
When we do talk about racist incidents occurring, at the end of the day, there are maybe one or two fans that are identified for racist chanting or starting racist chants, and then in some cases they are prosecuted and taken away. And this leads a lot of people to believe, well, you know, it's not all fans. But the fact of the matter is that there are racist incidents that occur in stadiums. And I'd like to know what kind of measures have been taken to try and eliminate these. Let's start with Germany, for instance.
I think in Germany, you have a lot of awareness to the topic, which doesn't mean the situation is perfect. Definitely not. But at the same time, we had examples of people making racist gestures, racist remarks, with the home fans basically signaling to the stewards and tell them, this person has made this and this and this remark. They need to fly out of the stadium. There's one example from, I think, 2.5 years ago in the city of Münster in Germany, where fans basically were the ones who identified the person who made racist remarks. We also had cases of games being called off as a result of suspected racist chants in Duisburg not so long ago. So I do think that clubs, players, and some fans, they do take measures to try and fight it. Some ultra groups say they do not tolerate any racism, and anyone making any racist remarks will be taken care of also by the fans themselves. So I do think those measures exist, but there's no way on earth you can cover every single incident.
Is this a harder thing to fight against than other issues? For example, LGBTQI rights or perhaps anti-Semitism or sexism in football?
I don't think so. I think every single issue has its own special characteristics, its own history, and of course, its own methodology in terms of fighting it. I do think social media brings about another aspect of discrimination as a whole, which wasn't present before. And that is the fact that people feel safe because they can use fake names. There's this element of a horde of people making such comments, which is much more visible in social media than it is in real life. I mean, in real life, you have one, two people making such remarks, and due to, I don't know, societal pressure or whatever, you will have some sort of a reaction from other people. But the fact of the matter is more people feel comfortable making those remarks on social media because they feel protected by their screens and by their fake usernames. If you would have made some of those remarks on an average German street, you would get arrested.
Do you worry that the issue of racism at stay in Germany is taken seriously enough?
I think it's being taken seriously, definitely. Seriously enough, I don't know. But I would definitely say that we have lots of work on our hands when it comes to continuing this situation where through the societal status, when it comes to how legitimate racist slurs are or are not, as they have been for many years, that this status remains. And this is a challenge nowadays.
And on that, just before the Euros, a survey released by the German public broadcaster WDR revealed, according to them, that 21% of the people they surveyed would prefer to see more white players playing for the German national team. I mean, many people, this is just, it's absurd to even ask such a question. But were you surprised by the fact that it was asked? And then also, what was your reaction to it?
I wasn't surprised by the results. And I think the results are the thing we need to talk about and not about the fact that it was asked in the first place, because the results are alarming here. And I think it was asked with the idea that Germany's far right is rising, that Germany's far right is becoming ever more legitimate. And with it come racist views. And I think presenting it in a way that's so in your face, that's so straightforward, is exactly what causes the discussion. And the results are alarming. The fact that people in Germany, which considers itself an open society, a democratic society, the fact that one in five people feels free to say such a thing, that I would rather see more white players, that's shocking.
You know, I find it very ironic that UEFA's slogan for this entire Euro 2024 is that football unites. But just 2 weeks ago, we had European elections, which signaled a shift towards nationalism, anti-immigration, more conservatism. This is a thing that I'm finding it really hard to reconcile. How do you see it?
We've also seen how this element of German society has been talking about its own national team players as a result of that. And we are talking about racist remarks. We are talking about this lack of acceptance that the current Germany captain, İlkay Gündoğan, is of immigration background, and some of its best players, Jamal Musiala and others, Leroy Sané, the list is very, very long. And that despite the fact that this diversity in German football has brought so much success and so many titles to football here, both on club and on national team level, those people refuse to accept that Germany is not the society it used to be 50 years ago. And given that the polls show that those elements of German society receive ever more support, I think it's going to be interesting to see how this comes across should Germany reach the latter stages of the tournament or even lift the cup. This could have political effects on the country as a whole. And on the other hand, if Germany gets eliminated in an early stage, say the last 16, then we're going to start seeing all sorts of such comments being made again and again and again. Football will definitely have some sort of political repercussions on the country as a whole. That's for sure.
That's it from this edition of Africa Link. You can join the conversation on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Listen to us on your podcast application or wherever you get your podcasts. Click follow so you never miss an episode. Today's episode was produced by Vuba Jalo and our intern Lea Brinkhoff. I am Kai Nebe. Bye for now.
DW. Made for Minds.